cue.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cue.
A cue? That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from backstage at Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film, currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought, that and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
No doubt.
Absolutely. And this week, it's episode 5 of our Walk of Shame round, a special episode once again, where we specifically pick out a film that for some reason we've never seen.
Yeah, final week.
And we feel shame.
Yeah.
We feel disgusted. We can't stand to look in the mirror.
Dirty.
Well, maybe I'm taking a little too far, maybe.
Yeah, easy.
A little bit.
But it's a walk of shame round. Absolutely. This is week 5. Max, you are going to conclude this one.
I am.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to the film in just a minute. But yeah, a film that we have not seen from Netflix Instant. We cue it up and we talk about it and tell you what we thought. But first thing, before we get into the film and the reveal, we're going to talk about introductions. As always, I'm Michael, your host. And to my left... Once again, as always, he's seated there. We're talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, you having a good week?
I am having a good week. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Did you have a good week?
Did I have a good week? I had a fantastic week.
Why?
Let me tell you why I had a good week, Savage. Well, first of all, you know I never ran out of gas on the highway?
Good.
Not one time.
Not once.
Not once.
Okay.
I didn't have to feel inferior because of my age. Not one time.
That's good. That's good. You know, you got the Silver Fox thing going.
I do have the Silver Fox.
Well, if you did, I would too. So I didn't feel that way either.
You look like Tom Cruise, .. in Collateral.
Yeah. I don't hear that. I just hear you look like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
In his younger days.
Yeah. With his messed up teeth.
Yeah. With his messed up teeth. Yeah,
no,
right.
I don't get that part.
I actually had a really good week, though, for one reason. That was because I wasn't forced to wear a girdle.
That's always good.
Fantastic week.
And even if you had, it wouldn't have taken you 2.5 hours.
No. All right. So there we go. Savage, thank you very much for asking. Did have a great week. And to your left, there he is, as always.
Always.
The patron saint of high-quality outerwear, and we're talking about Matthew St. Hoodie.
I'm always here.
You're always here. You never leave.
I'm always here.
You sleep under the table.
I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere to go.
You live off crumbs.
You need to start paying rent.
Yeah, paying rent at Jolly Rogers Studio. Right. Yeah, well, there you are, man. Good to see you, as always, and fantastic. Now, let me ask you this question.
Okay, sure.
Is a girdle considered quality outerwear?
No, what? That's very underwear.
Underwear.
It's classified as underwear.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, it was like a fashion in the early 90s where, like, women wore their,
it's coming back too.
Their underwear on the outside.
Oh, really?
You remember?
Thank the God.
Like the whole Madonna cone boob thing. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Cone boobs.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to your left, though, and let's get this out of the way. We're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
Hello.
Well, hello, sir. How are you?
I am here. I am just a kazoo with some sparklers.
What in the hell is he talking about?
That's music and fire, buddy.
Ooh, baby, that's right.
Music and fire.
Yeah.
Music and fire.
So, is that really a kazoo?
That's called a clue.
It's called a clue. You want one more? Well, let's go over to our little lamb lost in the big concrete jungle over there. And that is a clue. And we're talking about the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hi.
That's all I get.
That's it.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
I am looking for a companion, though.
Yeah. Keep looking.
He also needs a hero.
I think that is a portent of things to come.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. All right, guys.
Since Adam is looking for his...
Oh,
so bad. Well, let's get on with it, guys. Let's talk about, before we get into the film, before we reveal this film, let's talk about ways to keep up with us. We're talking about Facebook, iTunes.
All of it.
YouTube channel.
That too.
You can Google us.
Yeah.
But why would you do that when you can go to theqfilmcast.net? .net. There you go. Stop on in. Tell us what you think of some of the other films we possibly have reviewed in the past. So a great catch all there, qfilmcast.net. Let's go into the film itself, and we will reveal that right here. Max Gumbo Johnson, this is your episode. This is The Walk of Shame, episode 5.
My day has come.
Your day has come. You have crested. You have shown yourself and revealed the power of your cueing abilities. Right. And the film that we're going to talk about tonight is what?
All About Eve.
All About
1950,
Eve.
Betty Davis. And that's it, Betty Davis. I mean, there's some other people in it, but yeah. Betty Davis is the star.
Marilyn Monroe.
She had Betty
Davis.
Yeah,
she was in it for like a minute.
In it for a minute.
In it for a minute.
She was in it for a minute, yeah.
Bit of a credit crawler.
A little bit.
She was.
But yeah, this was all Betty Davis's movie, and it was.
It was.
But this is widely considered to be one of the greatest movies ever made, and
yeah.
To my shame, I had not seen it.
Why have you not seen it? I mean, you watch a lot of films, and I think this is in your wheelhouse. Why did this one evade you?
I don't know. There were several. I went through Netflix, pulling up movies. I'm like, okay, I hadn't seen that. I pared it down to like 6. I was like, okay, of these 6 that I can get on Netflix, this is the one I would like to see the most. Okay. So I picked All About Eve.
All right, well,
you're ashamed of just all the time.
What's that?
You're just ashamed all the time then.
I am ashamed all the time.
You haven't seen a lot of movies.
There's like, I mean, even doing research on this one, I was like, holy crap, I hadn't seen Sunset Boulevard. Yeah, I hadn't seen Paths of Glory. Yeah. I hadn't seen that. I'm like, wow, yeah. I'm really missing out on a lot of movies.
And, you know, AFI recently put this out. I think they do this every few years, top 100. Last week we talked about The Graduate, and it was up there somewhere.
17.
This is up there, too.
Uh-huh.
Producer, can you produce that?
I'm looking it up as we speak.
I feel like it was like 28 or something.
Yeah, it was something like that. Somewhere around
28.
There.
28. Considered the 28th greatest film of all time. So I think there should be some shame if you have this in front of your face.
At your disposal these days. It's right. Not like the old days where you just like you had to wait for it to come on TV or at the theater. Right. You can just watch it anytime now. There's no excuse to not
and
watch
it's right
it.
Next to Max's pick from a long time ago, Double Indemnity.
Right. Indemnity. It's right next to Double
Indemnity. All right, guys, let's get into this thing though. The film we're talking about tonight is All About Eve.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this, man. 1950, Max, written and directed by Joseph Mankiewicz.
Joseph L. Mankiewicz.
Did I say it right? Mankiewicz?
Yeah.
I've been waiting for the remake by Samuel L. Bronkowitz. It's a little inside joke for Kentucky Fried Chicken fans. Kentucky Fried Movie fans, I should say.
Kentucky Fried Chicken fans, he says.
Samuel
I'm a big fan.
L. Bronkowitz.
I love that. Barefoot Contessa, Guys and Dolls, Cleopatra, that's what this guy's known for. This film, like Max...
Still.
Stated previously, stars Betty Davis, Ann Baxter, George Sanders, Celeste Holm, Hugh Marlowe, and a credit crawler, Marilyn Monroe. Yep. People who liked this also liked Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, but don't ever borrow it from Max because it doesn't work.
Because it's on Blu-ray. Catch up with the times, Michael.
Some like
Get
it
out
hot.
Of your girdles.
Oh, and people who liked this also liked Double Indemnity. You should love this one, Sam.
Loved it.
This film inspired our top 3. You know what this is, Hoodie. We're talking about top 3 movie divas.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about our top 3 movie divas after we get done talking about this particular diva, which is Betty Davis, All About Eve. But let's get into some of the ratings. You know, we always defer back to the critics. Yeah. Critique the critics. You know what I'm talking about, producer?
Yes.
Of course you do, because you're here every week. IMDb. Hoodie, let's go to you. What do you think the critics? I'm going to go to you, man.
You're killing me.
IMDb is all users.
I want to see you squirm.
Okay.
Something. What do you think they gave this film?
Well, it's a good movie. 28. 9.4?
9.4. 8.4.
Ooh.
Get out.
Wow.
I'm missing.
That's still pretty good.
No, that's
awful. Of course
awful.
It's good.
For IMDb.
No, I mean for IMDb, it's pretty good.
It's awful.
Rotten Tomatoes, Max Gumbo Johnson. What do you think Rotten Tomatoes critic-wise?
I know. It's 100%. It's 100%.
Really?
100%. Savage, what do you think users-wise on Rotten Tomatoes gave this film?
60.
All About Eve.
No, it's probably 92.
95. Boom. Margin of error. He got it.
See, if that was my close question... Enough. That's what I'm saying.
We'll go around the table next week the other way, Hoodie. Right. It is the guy first off the bench is tough. All right, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the film Max wants us to talk about here, All About Eve, 1950, and here's what you have. Based on the story, The Wisdom of Eve by Mary Orr, All About Eve is an elegantly bitchy backstage story revolving around aspiring actress Eve Harrington, played by Ann Baxter. Tattered and forlorn, Eve shows up in the dressing room of Broadway megastar Margot Channing, played by Betty Davis, weaving a melancholy life story to Margot and her friends. Taking pity on the girl, Margot takes Eve as her personal assistant. Before long, it becomes apparent that naive Eve, that's hard to say,
naive
is a conniver who cold-bloodedly uses Margot. Her director, Bill Sampson, played by Gary Merrill, Lloyd's wife, Karen, played by Celeste Holm, and Wapish, what's that mean? Washpish. There you go, Savage. Thanks for bailing me out. Critic Addison DeWitt, played by George Sanders, to rise to the top of the theatrical heap. Also appearing in All About Eve is Marilyn Monroe, introduced by Addison DeWitt as a graduate of Copacabana School of Dramatic Art.
Love that line.
Yeah. This is but one of the hundreds of unforgettable lines penned by writer-director Joseph A. L. Say it.
Joseph L. Mankiewicz.
That guy. The most famous of which is Margot Channing's lip-sneering admonition, "Fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night." All About Eve received 6 Academy Awards, including Best Picture.
As well.
And we talked about the heat it received on AFI's Top 100 list. So there you go. Let's get back here in a minute and talk about this film. But in the meantime, strap yourself into this trailer right here. We'll come back in a second and tell you what we thought of this one.
Honored members, ladies and gentlemen, for distinguished achievement in the theater, the Sarah Siddons Award to Miss Eve Harry.
I'm going to take you to Margot. Oh, no. Oh, yes, she's got to meet you.
She's quite a girl, this what's-her-name.
Eve. I've forgotten they grew that way. I take it she read well.
It wasn't a reading, it was a performance. Brilliant, vivid, something made of music and fire.
How nice. After all you've said, don't you know that part was written for Margot? It might have been 15 years ago. It's my part now.
You're quite a girl.
You think? Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night. You do all that just for a part in a play.
I'd do much more for a part that good.
Why do they always look like unhappy rabbits?
Because that's what they are. I don't make him happier.
There never was, and there never will be another like you.
The Q Filmcast, and that's the film we're talking about right there, 1950, All About Eve, and it's all because of Max Gumbo Johnson.
You're welcome.
There you go. We'll find out how welcome we are. Yeah, we have some things to say about this one, I do believe. We're going to get into that in a minute. First thing we do is what we do every week, and you know what's coming here. We're talking about little facts and fig facts.
I was going to say trivia. I remembered this week.
Did you know?
Hoodie. Let me ask you this question. Did you know that co-star Celeste Holm spoke about her experience with Betty Davis on the first day of shooting? She says, "I walked onto the set on the first day. I said good morning. And you know what her reply was? She said, oh, crap, good manners. I never spoke to her again."
Whoa.
What I'm telling you is that Celeste Holm and Betty Davis did not get along. Did you know, producer, did you know that years later Betty Davis said in an interview, "Filming All About Eve was a very happy experience. The only bitch in the cast was Celeste Holm."
Wow.
Because she had good manners.
These two women did not like each other. Did you know that 1991, in an interview for Films in Review, Joseph L. What?
Mankiewicz.
Displayed very little respect for the talent of actor. Did anybody get along in this film?
It was a very pleasant experience.
He displayed very little respect for the actor Hugh Marlowe, calling him a grunt and stating he was a stick. Did you know that Betty Davis fell in love with her co-star Gary Merrill during the shoot of this movie?
I did know that.
The two were married in July 1950, a few weeks after filming was complete. They adopted a baby girl, whom they named Margot.
Wow.
How sweet.
Did not know that.
The greatest thing about that was when Betty Davis wanted him to write a sequel to All About Eve, and he never wrote it, and she ran into Joseph Mankiewicz like 20 years later and says, "Forget about that sequel. I lived it. It didn't work."
Nice.
That's awesome.
That's a did you know off the cuff. I like
great.
That. Did you know that Zsa Zsa Gabor kept arriving on the set because she was jealous of her husband George Sanders in his scenes with the young blonde Marilyn Monroe?
She should have been.
Yeah, right.
My God, Zsa Zsa Gabor coming in all pissed off on a movie set. That's not good.
Being jealous of somebody?
That's not a bad three-way.
George Merrill. Who else? The other two dudes?
Zsa Gabor and Marilyn Monroe. Okay. I'd have jumped in there.
I want to stay out of that path. Producer, did you know that the movie's line, "Fasten your seatbelt, it's going to be a bumpy night," was voted as the number 9 movie quote by the American Film Institute?
Wow.
Yep. He's blown away. Savage, yes. This holds the record for a film with the greatest number of female actors being nominated for an Oscar.
Still?
I guess.
What's the number? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What is the number? A lot. How's it? Would it be three, maybe? I mean,
two best actresses and two supporting? Best supporting, I think.
Yeah. We'll see if we agree with that. Right. Ranks first in the Academy Awards with 14 nominations. It was tied by Titanic in 1997.
What a shame.
That's a shame, yeah.
That is really a shame.
Awful. Yeah, but different categories, you know, special effects. And yeah.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's still a shame.
Max, your heart will go on. Don't worry about it.
Oh, God.
Your heart will go on.
Couldn't it have been tied by a good movie?
Like Double Indemnity?
Right. Avatar?
Well,
All right, let's get into currency, guys, and let's talk about what we thought of this film. There you go. There's some facts and figures all about Eve 1950. We don't use thumbs up. We don't use thumbs down.
No, nope, that is so stupid.
This is stupid. You know that, don't you?
It's stupid. I agree.
It's dumb.
Thank you.
I second that emotion.
I appreciate that, buddy.
We kicked something around. What did we land on?
Bumpy nights.
1 through 10 bumpy nights to rate this film.
I hate going first. I really, really like this movie. But I'm going to go a 9. If somebody can bump me up to a 10, that would be awesome. If somebody can bumpy night me up to a 10, that would be fantastic. I'm gonna go with a 9 right now. I'm going to go with a 9.
So you're at a 9?
I'm at a 9.
Not a 10, but a 9.
I'm not 9. A 10, but a 9. But if somebody can bump me, night me up.
He's up there. We're talking about, that's up there, man. 9.
Not looking you're for hot. A bumpy night from any of you guys, but.
You're hot on this one.
I loved it. I watched it twice. Every second line of dialogue was either an underhanded compliment or just an outright insult or yeah. Something. There was hardly a decent word spoken at all in this movie. There was no genuine feeling on anyone's part. At all in this film, except maybe Addison. Other than that, everybody else was, I don't know, they were so vitriolic and everything.
Everybody except Marilyn Monroe.
Even the compliments given to her were backhanded compliments.
I want to get, when we get into scenes, there's some funny stuff there.
It was just a venom-filled film from beginning to end, and I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Well, this really showcases Bette Davis in that regard.
Oh, my God.
She can pull that off.
She was a natural.
Yes. Maybe she was. Maybe she wasn't acting. You're going 9 on this, right?
Yeah.
Up there with 9. Hoodie, we're going to go around to you right now. What are you going to give as far as Bumpy Nights to All About Eve?
Bumpy Nights. I liked it as well. Maybe not as much.
Thank you.
Bette Davis. Everybody's saying Bette Davis. I thought Baxter did a fantastic job. She was my favorite through the whole thing.
I thought she was great.
I thought she stole the show. But I got to go 8. There were a few problems I had with it.
Yeah.
Running time. It was a little long, but there was a little bit of fat on there.
A little. I'll agree with you. I'll give you that.
But yeah, it was great.
Don't worry. Nobody's gonna hurt my feelings if they.
No,
didn't
like it. I was really expecting not to like this movie like at all. I was not looking forward to watching this at all. So give it an 8. That's great.
Watch this thing.
Fantastic.
All right, so we got a little bit of a fire
love
fire
it.
Here. We have 10 and we have 8 and Savage.
Yeah.
Going
9.
Around
9
counterclockwise.
And 8.
Oh, 9 and 8. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What you gonna go with?
I'm with Hoodie. I wasn't looking forward to this at all, and really, I was kind of hoping to hate it. Unfortunately, I didn't hate it. So now I got to tell Max why I didn't hate it, but I'll give it an 8.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Producer, we'll get to you in a second. Let me just keep going around the table. I think it's better to end with producer.
I think it's a good idea.
Let me just tell you what I thought. And once again, just like last week, I had to put my can I see how this would have caused a stir at that time sweater, you know? So I'm coming into this as an analysis, but to me, this movie had it right. I'm going to go 8.
All right.
I'm going to go 8 here. Once again, like the rest of you, I'm like, okay, it's this. And after a while, I'm like, I'm kind of digging this. You know, yeah. I mean, this is at that time, at this place, with these actors. It's working for me.
Yeah.
All the players, all the quirk were in sync with one another. I think it's wonderfully shot, too.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I mean, I'm looking at this going, man, this is mastercraft in 1950. I mean, the camera work, the way it kind of hovered and moved.
Yeah, it's real
floated.
Clean.
It's clean.
Yeah.
And I love the setup, and I loved every character here, how they were developed.
Yeah.
Just enough of everybody. And they all kind of just came together and just bumped into one another in life, backstage, at the party,
and the dialogue just crackled. It was like a log on a fire. It just crackled. Oh, I'm like, dang, Max, good deal. I liked All About Eve. I'm gonna go eight. I'm gonna go eight on that. I'm actually a Bette Davis fan now. I mean,
go figure.
And I'm all these guys fans. I mean, we're gonna talk about.
I know.
That in a bit.
I don't really. I probably have seen some of these other people in some other movies, but I don't really. Not really familiar with still. Them.
No, I'm the worst. I had to actually look up a picture. Like, which one of these is Bette Davis?
Well, she had Bette Davis eyes.
Bette Davis, Ann Baxter. I knew Ann Baxter, Bette Davis, and Monroe. But right. The other ones, I was like, okay, I'm not really sure. With this,
we have,
you know,
we have
Hugh Marlowe.
Yeah, we know.
He was in Day of the Earth Stood Still.
That's right. He was.
Okay. Well.
Okay. Well, listen. We have the greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast, but I think we're going to come crashing down to Earth now.
Yeah. What's the score before?
Yeah.
Score before is 33. That's the four of us is 33.
Right. We should start posting a before and after bomb.
Let's the bomb. Go. The bomb drops. It ends here. Producer, what are you going to give All About Eve 1950?
I liked it.
Oh.
Oh, I'm right. Surprised.
So it's a six.
Seven.
Seven's right. Good. Seven's
seven.
Good.
Seven. Okay. That go bumps figure. It up to a 40.
That's an almost masterpiece for Adam.
It overshoots.
Yeah, really.
It overshoots, man. It overdelivers and overqualifies itself, certainly from what I thought it would.
I'm so proud of you, Adam. You're growing.
As a person.
You're like our little fawn that has been set free.
Apparently, you can only grow jungle. According to Max's palate. So, yeah, there
no,
you go.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, let's talk about why we all got up on this film. I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised I liked it. I'm thinking, if this works for me, I might get it to six. And at the end, I'm like, friggin' eight, man. But you went up there at nine, Max.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it. Let's get it going. Let's cue up this conversation. 1950, All About Eve.
The greatest thing about this movie is the script,
yes.
Is the dialogue. The dialogue is engaging from the first second of the movie. Let me take that back. When I first started watching it, it had that long, it was like 5 or 6 minutes almost. It felt like, I don't know how long it actually was, that long narration, that little backstory of Eve and saying, oh, I'm
Addison DeWitt.
This and that.
I'm necessary.
For those of you that don't listen to non-commercial radio and blah, 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 I'm crucial to this. I'm like, okay, I'm not real sure what's going on here. But then when, it did that freeze frame on Eve.
Yeah.
The whole movie is basically a flashback. And from the first second where, she's walking down the theater alley and she catches her in the alley and says, I'm just a big fan. And they bring her in. Every word of dialogue in this thing, this is some of the best written dialogue ever. Hands down. This is, I could only wish to write something this good. Quentin Tarantino would probably looks at this and goes like, this guy knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic. You cannot take your ears off of this movie. You really can't. You could literally lay down in bed, turn this movie on, and just listen to it.
But what makes it almost like a radio play?
Like a radio play.
I almost couldn't take my eyes off it either.
Well, I'm not discounting the visuals of it. But my point is that the script and the dialogue is so strong in this movie. It's so good. It brings it to a whole new level versus anything. I mean, you can take a backstage drama and. It could be a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
But this is just, this is heads and tails above anything like that. It's genius. Who could come up with so many good lines in 2 hours and 20
apparently
minutes?
Apparently Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz.
Maybe Buck Henry wrote it. I don't know.
Oh,
yeah. On the sly.
Max, I want to get back to you. I want to hear about some of the things you really like. Man, I remember this. I think there's a few for sure.
Yeah.
Boiling over.
I loved
it. Let's go over to Hoodie, Matthew St. Hoodie. You got up there with an eight, man. I'm up there with you. What you think?
Yeah, pretty much what Max said. I think that this thing, the story, I think, more than the dialogue, the actual story is just really strong. And I didn't know exactly where it was going. I mean, it had so many different directions that it could have taken and still been a really, pretty decently good story. All About Eve and all.
Yeah.
And this is the time of, when everything's ended with and all. A lot of people said and all after they talked.
But again, to the monologues at the front, that had me running scared when I heard that coming on the freeze frames and they were just dancing around and introducing people.
Yeah,
I was like, that's just weak. That's just the worst possible way to introduce characters in a movie is to shot by shot say, this is such and such, he does such and such, and this is such and such.
Yeah,
and that's one of the reasons I went down. That was the weakest part of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But after that, you really forgot that this was a flashback, and you started really getting invested in. In these people, and like I said before, I thought
Anne Baxter, she stole the show. She was just, she was great. Just so good.
You think she overacted just a bit, though? Did it grate you after a while?
Not at all. Okay. Not even a little bit. Sorry.
Nope, but, I agree with you.
That's in my notes. I thought she overacted the entire time.
Nope, it never occurred to me. I just really, really liked this girl. The character, okay. The way that she was portrayed, I just really liked her and wanted to know all about her.
Well, yeah, all about Eve, sure. Let's go over to All About Savage. Yeah. I want to hear all about it, Savage.
Yeah, no, I went into this wanting to dislike this film. I mean, I wanted to dislike this film.
Please make me hate this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
No. Why? I don't understand that.
No, why? And I'll tell you why, Max. Because sometimes you have this proclivity to drag us to your cinematic church, whip out these celluloid sacred cows, and ask us to bow down with you.
That's okay.
And I thought this was going to be that. You've never seen this film.
I've never seen it.
Oh, but it's one of the best films ever. Everybody says
it's everybody in the world.
Exactly.
Everybody in the world.
That's
why
it's a sacred cow. And you bring these things up, and if we don't agree with you, then it's like we're somehow deficient because we don't agree with this is a sacred cow. And I wanted to hate this film so I could come in here and tell you why I hated it. But I didn't. I liked it because it's a good movie. It's a good movie. It really is. And I'm on board totally with you and with you, Hoodie, that when it starts with that narration, it's like, oh, man. And I was ready. I was chomping at the bit. I was like, all right. It's the critic who's the narrator. No wonder why all the critics like it, because it's the critic who's narrating it.
Sure.
I'm essential to the everything. You know, all critics want to be essential to these things. And then it changes to the multiple narrators. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, it's just going to turn into this crap. But the minute Betty Davis opens her mouth and then it goes back to that dialogue, everything is just rapid fire. And it's one brilliant line. It's these one-liners back and forth. It's ping pong. It's like verbal ping pong back and forth. And everybody's so cool. Everybody's so sharp.
Yeah.
It really is. And the story, I think, is pretty good. There's a lot of subplots too, but it's not, I think it's like a weird coming of age story, but an older coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, it's becoming comfortable in your age, not becoming the adult thing.
Yeah.
And I think the story ultimately plays out, like Hoodie says, pretty well.
Yeah.
The overacting thing, we'll get into that. But,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's.
It works. And it works for it all the reasons work. Max said, Hoodie said.
Yeah.
You know, for me, just touch on a couple things. I have what I call a 1950s gag reflex. It's literally a gag reflex. Like, I can't handle the dialogue. It's so over-stylized and so theatrical
that
I appreciate it. I like it. I just, it's like oysters, man. I can't eat it, you know? But I think what works here is that
you know it's good.
But yeah, but you know what I think works here for me is that we're talking about a movie about actors, about theatrical people, people who live their life, whether they're on the stage or not. They're overemphasizing everything in their dialogue. So when they're delivering all of this to me, it feels right.
Yeah.
It's not the whole, gee, officer, I was raped today. Were you, ma'am? You know what I'm talking about? What, a lot of that stuff gets out. It's not real dialogue to me. Yeah. But I think the characters here needed to speak like that in this film. They were theatrical people.
Yeah.
And they were all just out there just being exactly what they should have been in this movie.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm with you completely on the dialogue.
Yeah.
And you say, well, you could just tonally, it's just, you know, orgasmic almost. You sit there and listen to it. But I'm going to go right back again to the presence of the screen here. I thought everybody, as I'm looking at it, was just very appealing. The craft here, the cinematography, the lighting. There's one scene in particular where Betty Davis is laying in the bed.
Mm.
I think it's one of the best shot scenes I've ever seen. I mean, this is hot craft. And to me,
it's got that real soft lighting on.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful film. So the film over-delivered because I thought that it went into a niche that I don't generally warm up to and brought it home perfectly to me. The performances were so good from everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
There is some overacting, but once again, we're talking about what would this woman be in real life? She would be an overactor. She's acting throughout the entire film.
What's her? She's a diva. She's supposed to sell herself.
Right. She's always performing.
So even when I say it's overacted, it still needed to be. Okay. Yeah. This film is exactly what I wanted it to be in the end. And you talk about that opening scene. I didn't find that too awkward. I thought it set a tone that this is a club, and these are exclusive people to the club. And I knew right then that, okay, wait a minute, it's free-streaming on her. Either she doesn't belong in this club, or she got here somehow, some way that is untypical.
Yeah.
And that set a nice tone for me. And then we meet her in the alley. I'm like, okay, it's going to be one of these. How do we get from the alley to the stage? I liked it.
Well, it establishes that these aren't real people.
Right.
They exist in this otherworldly kind of environment.
Yeah.
So we're not bound by, that's not what real people would do, because mm-hmm. they're living this hyper reality surrounded by the trappings of theater, like high level theater.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was real appealing to me. I knew that we had a good story here, and we definitely had a place to go. Here's a woman on stage getting an award. Okay, now she's in an alley. It's like, okay, you're setting a nice
story.
Story
is ages time.
Yeah,
oldest time.
Yeah, the story has a big purpose here. But let's go over to the producer, man. You got up there too. I want to talk to you for a minute. You went up on 7.
Okay.
We just threw out a lot of reasons why we liked it. What do you got?
Pretty much what y'all were saying. I love the dialogue. I like the inner dialogue that everyone's, you know, thinking. And the things I didn't care for was the snappy comebacks. I just thought they were too fast.
That's dialogue.
No, it just didn't seem real. It just didn't seem real. It was just too rehearsed.
Really?
That's what's so good about it.
Nah.
I would have been terrified to have lived in the 50s. Like, I would just never talk ever to anybody.
Yeah.
You have like to wear a cool hat all the time, though, like a fedora.
And like a fitted suit, but I would never talk.
And like I said, I thought the lady who played Eve, I thought she overreacted too much, but Addison, I thought he was perfect.
Such a snob, such a British highbrow snob in this
perfect
thing. Perfect critic.
Yeah.
But let's take a quick break. Let's listen to just a piece of this dialogue that we've thrown out there, we all like so much. And then we'll come back in a minute. We'll talk about some scenes all about Eve. We'll knock it around a little bit, talk about what we remember about this film. And here you go, All About Eve, 1950. We'll come back in just a second and tell you what we thought of some of these specifics.
I can't believe you're making this up. It sounds like something out of an old Clyde Fitch play.
Clyde Fitch, though you may not think so, was well before my time.
I've always denied the legend you were in Our American Cousin the night Lincoln was shot.
I don't think that's funny.
Of course it's funny. This is all too laughable to be anything else. You know what I feel about this age obsession of yours, and now this ridiculous attempt to whip yourself up into a jealous froth because I spent 10 minutes with a stage-struck kid.
20.
30 minutes, 40 minutes, what of it?
Stage-struck kid, she's a young lady of qualities. And I'll have you know I'm fed up with both the young lady and her qualities. Studying me as if I were a play or a blueprint, how I walk, talk, think, act, sleep.
Now, how can you take offense at a kid trying in every way to be as much like her ideal as possible?
Stop calling her a kid.
All right, the Q Film Cast, All About Eve, 1950. That's the film you heard from. And yeah, that's the film we're talking about. Queued up by Max Gumbo Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, Max, this film that we all seem to enjoy, what do you recall? Scene-wise?
Yeah. My favorite scene, two favorite scenes. My favorite scene was when Bette Davis gets to the theater and meets Addison outside, and Addison tells her, oh, yeah, Eve was great, you know, blah, blah, blah. She was, what did he call her?
Reading with
Music them. And Fire.
Music and Fire.
She was Music and Fire. Boy, she storms into the theater, and she just starts going on over them.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, where's Miss Music and Fire? Where's she at? Oh, you should have seen Eve. She was great. She was great. And they just compound her feelings over and over and over about her worrying about her being aged and a 40-year-old playing a character that's supposed to be 28 says, oh, how would you like it if there was a 28-year-old playing a character that's supposed to be 28 in your play that's so perfect? You know, yeah, exactly. It just lambastes the guy and just says, I, apparently I'm not right for this play. And, you know, I'm just a kazoo covered in sparklers. Apparently that's all I am. And the guy finishes it off by saying, it might be time for you to learn that the piano is not the one that wrote the concerto. You know, that's
the dialogue
that kind of
we're
stuff
talking
is,
about.
Is yeah, that's the kind of dialogue. I mean, you see it twice and you pick up on lines like that. And to go back to what Matt said about the story, the story is so good, but it's also it's a universal story about you want confirmation. You want to stay relevant. And that's what Bette Davis's character is all about. She wants to stay relevant, but she's starting to realize, look, I'm getting older and I'm having to play these younger characters and they're not writing good characters for these older actresses. And that's where I'm heading. I'm heading into this territory where I'm not relevant anymore. People still love me. They want to see me, but they saw Eve and, oh my God, they were just blown away. She was so perfect for this.
And that scene you're talking about is her big, oh crap moment.
Yeah, and it's great.
She comes to realization. You know, they keep using throughout the word several times, jungle here. You want to sharpen your teeth. This really is a great play against kind of the king of the jungle. And when the king of the jungle gets too old to be the king and the new cub comes up, yeah, kind of thing, it's a big play on that, you know? Cyclical and just rehash. And you, yeah, get that at the end of the movie, too. Like, this story never ends.
Oh, my God. Right. That horror story ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was literally, yeah, a, yeah, horror story.
And what ending. I liked about that ending, too, we realized, okay, it's all about Eve, but this isn't a story just about Eve. This is a story that becomes
about
everybody's
people.
Story.
It's people's story.
Eve's story will soon be Margot's Eve's story.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Buddy, what you got when you think about this film, scene-wise? What rises to the surface,
yeah,
for you?
Before I get to the scene, I think that I agree completely with you guys, especially about the ending. I loved it. I thought that that was one of the best endings I've seen in a long time. Go figure. But the writing is so strong that to be able to have almost two main characters that are, their stories are so strong and running side by side and intermingling with each other, and to be able to play that off is just dumbfounding. And like, yeah, you said, I couldn't have written that. I couldn't even thought halfway through this movie to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite scene would be when Baxter really kind of showed her colors with Davis's boyfriend. Bill, yeah. Was it Bill? I want to say Bill.
When you say showed her colors, what are you talking about?
When she starts hitting on Bill.
Love that.
The critic, yeah, standing outside the door and hears everything.
Yeah.
That smacked me in the face. I didn't see that coming at all. Yeah. I just wasn't paying attention, I guess. I thought I was, but I didn't see the movie taking that kind of twist.
How long before you realized that she wasn't this lamb in a concrete jungle?
Well, basically right then.
Right then and there? Because for a long time I thought, well, okay, she is a sympathetic character.
No.
That's, yeah. I mean, and that's, again, with the writing, it really could have gone a number of different directions, have been pretty good, but it really went the one true way. And that scene where she did that flip, and I was just like, whoa, yeah, wait, huh? And you kind of saw it in her, but she was just so sweet, like sicky sweet, and, you know, so humble,
mm-hmm,
that it was just kind of, I totally believed her.
I had flashes.
She had me hook, line, and sinker.
She did. Savage.
Yeah.
Speaking of powerful dialogue delivered by a great man, what do you got?
Oh, there's ton of stuff to talk about in this film. I mean, it does ultimately go back to dialogue and story. I like how you, to touch on what you said about jungle, you know, it's dog eat dog and it's jungle sharp.
They played that up. They played that up.
You know, but there's a subplot and a subtext in this film with the Hollywood thing, where Hollywood is becoming the young thing.
Mm-hmm.
Taking away from Broadway.
Yeah, they made sure you knew that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's,
I'm going to Hollywood for a few weeks.
Yeah, and so when Marilyn Monroe comes in, and even though she is a credit crawler, you can't take your eyes off of her. You talk about a stunningly beautiful woman.
Can't
you
act
have
for
to
anything.
Audition for television?
Yeah. She was awful. You want to talk about some bad acting?
Television.
but that was intentional, though.
I think she knew it.
No, I think it was intentional. I think it was supposed to be. She was supposed to be just this really vapid, kind of airheaded, bubbly, you know, eye candy thing.
And do you think that's supposed to signify the regression of the theater into Hollywood?
Well, I think it was supposed to set their elitism apart, you know, especially with Addison, because he was the quintessential effete kind of critic.
Well, you notice how he introduced her.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a recent graduate of the Copacabana Institute, yeah, of Performing Arts.
Yeah, no.
And she was like, mm-hmm.
Right. No, and I loved his character, and I loved Bill, the boyfriend's character, because if there was somebody who was, like, grounded, it was the boyfriend.
Yep.
He was the real guy. You know, he would keep it real. Everybody else existed in this weird thing. I thought Bette Davis turned into it kind of came petulant after a while.
I agree.
It was like... Okay, we get it. You're getting old. You feel like you're getting old.
Yeah. After a while.
You're a bitch. We know.
Right. You know,
how about
none of us.
From the beginning of the film.
Well, you know, some of it is vanity of the celebrity. And that's to be expected. And that's part of the story. I thought that Baxter was a little breathy. Everything she said ended out of breath.
Just a bit.
Everything she ended out of breath.
But she was doing that for a reason, I think.
Right. And she was one dimensional up until what Hoodie said. She twisted with Bill. And then it became that she was still stalky from the front. But then when she wanted him, it's like, mm-hmm, that's her boyfriend. I got to have him, too, because I want what she has. And so then she became kind of two-dimensional, and her character became more interesting to
me. I'll tell you where she became three-dimensional is that scene in the restroom when she confronts Karen. And
I loved it.
She turned medieval right there.
Yeah, right
and
there.
You knew right then, ain't nothing going to stop her.
Right.
Except the next cub that's coming up through the jungle.
Well,
that's the only thing that's going to bring her down.
And Addison.
Yeah.
Cold-blooded.
I like
that. Love that
scene. I love that guy.
Pimp slap.
Loved it.
Call it a pimp slap.
Producer.
Oh, pimp slap.
Let's go around real quick to producer. What you got? You talk about scenes in this film, Adam. Which one kind of comes to surface for you?
My favorite scene was when they're sitting on the stairs, the whole group of them.
Yeah.
And they're just the conversation back and forth between them.
Oh, with the main line.
Yeah. The No.
It was in that party, though, right?
Yeah, but they
I'm
had
talking
the,
about when they bring Aunt, yeah. I'm still thinking Marilyn about Monroe
the
in.
Yeah, when yeah. they bring Marilyn Monroe in, she's Everybody's looking at the drunk. Butler or the waiter.
Yeah, and I know I liked about that real quick, too.
Oh, waiter? Well, you can't. He's not a waiter. He's a butler. Well, that could be somebody's name.
I can't call him. I wrote this down. I can't call him butler. Someone's name could be butler. Yeah, that's funny.
She's kind of right, smart, though.
Yeah.
So you like the stair scene. I wrote that down, too, when they're all talking about how elitist they are.
Yeah, they had
and how
the,
important they are.
I thought that was pretty weak because she, like, zones out into some awful monologue sitting on the stairs that really just kind of killed me. I was like,
they had a line in there I really liked.
I loved it. I thought that was fantastic.
Really?
I did. I really loved it.
That showed her kind of psycho side because she's sitting there hearing about how when an actor becomes relevant, nothing can stop them. And you see her eyes light up like, that's me.
Yeah, she's crazy.
She's crazy. I thought, this is a crazy woman.
She's crazy from the jump.
Go back to him.
Adam, I'm sorry. What you got, buddy?
Well, I was trying to say that there was a line in that scene that I really liked. When they said the actors and actresses are just plain folks ignoring the fact that their greatest attraction to the public is their complete lack of resemblance to the normal human beings.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote that down, too.
Yeah.
That was the best line in the entire movie.
Look at Adam writing down lines out of a movie. I can't believe you only gave it a 7. You should have given this a 10.
Nah, that's good. Because
it's no Ginger Dead Man.
Yeah, well, right. Well, you know, the breathiness of it all can get a little grating, I think, is what he's
saying. It really was.
But that's a piece of dialogue that stuck out to me, too, producer. And I think it's chock full of it. That's one for sure. You know what, Savage, you also brought up a second ago about DeWitt. You liked his play.
Oh, I love DeWitt.
How about this line here? Do you take me for the gang of backward children you play tricks on?
Yeah. No,
what do you think of that confrontation?
Every line come out of his mouth was just masterful. I mean, this guy was so sharp.
Awesome.
I mean, I couldn't write anybody that sharp. It's just because to write somebody that smart, you got to be smarter than that to write that smart.
You got to write down a little bit.
That was an awful sentence.
I know what he's saying.
Exactly.
See, he can't even write his own sentence. I know what he's saying, though. I got you saying.
DeWitt was the man.
Yeah. DeWitt was
and
the man.
And cold-blooded.
Yeah, I mean, back to that scene you were talking about where he broke her in half.
Yeah.
That was great.
Oh, that's where
where he leaves her on the bed saying, who owns you, basically. And she's like, say it. He's like, say it. He's tamed the tigress. That,
yeah.
But that is a
You belong
scene.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say it.
But
he didn't say that. But
it speaks to his influence and celebrity and all of that, you know, because critics have, like going to Birdman, where critics have say in your success as celebrity.
Yeah, but he
which
owned
they
her.
Shouldn't, but
he owned her more than that. He could have outed her as a phony.
Exactly. You know,
and he was like, "You say anything about this, and boom, you're done.
Your Wisconsin story is out the window." Right?
Yeah. I also liked how he kind of was on to her. Now, do you remember that theater you played at in San Francisco?
The Schubert?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ready to go into the shower now. Can I talk about this later?
Yeah. And then a couple scenes later when they're fake walking down the sidewalk, which is awful.
I hated
that.
What was
that? That was awful.
They had the Schubert in the background on the theater. It's like, that's literally the theater you're at now.
In Jersey.
Yeah, that was the worst.
I didn't get that. Yeah. It's like, wow, why didn't you just film him walking down the sidewalk?
That was the worst.
I didn't get that.
We're talking about All About Eve 1950, by the way, starring Bette Davis. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I went back, rewound that. Producer, did you catch that scene
we're talking about? That was the worst scene. I have it written down.
Was it raining out that day? Why couldn't they just film him walking down?
They're too famous. They can't walk down sidewalks.
Right.
I guess not.
They should have used a different stock footage, though, like maybe Godzilla running down the street with
there
people
it is.
Screaming. I don't know.
That would have been
hilarious.
Out.
He had a couple more years before he came out.
You know what? I have to give it that knock right there. I don't understand.
I'm with you. I don't have no idea why they did that.
You know what else shows Eve's evil side? One more scene I wanted to
everything?
Kind of bring up. Well, everything. But, you know, when she got Lloyd to go and meet her in Jersey, and she got like her assistant to call.
No, her roommate.
Her roommate to say, she's sick.
Yeah. And they like high five.
You
got to
come here right now. I'm on my way. Tell her I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And they're sleeping in separate beds.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, it looks like that may be it. Producer, you want to add anything here at the end? Anything you want to talk about? What you got?
The last scene, the girl who played Phoebe, Barbara Bates.
Yeah. Oh, we got to talk about the ending.
What's funny is this whole thing is life imitates art. She wound up killing herself because she wasn't relevant anymore in Hollywood.
Really? Seriously?
The actress? Yeah,
the actress.
Wow.
The girl at the end in the mirror?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't like that. That's a bummer. It's a downer. Yeah.
So end it on a down.
No, but that is life imitating art. Okay.
I thought that was a neat fact.
Hey, I wouldn't call it neat.
Hey, bring it up a notch and go up a point, Adam. Go to an 8.
I'm going to go 8.
I'll
go 8.
Classic.
That's a 41.
That concludes that, guys. Let's get into our top three here. First thing we're going to do is listen to a little bit of this film. And we're talking about All About Eve, 1950. To Max's shame, no longer.
No longer. I am glad I saw this.
I want to point out that none of us had seen this.
No, I'd seen chunks of it. Not enough to say I'd seen it.
Well,
basically, I'd never seen it.
I'm glad to say that I've.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw it too.
Yeah, so it's a perfect. Everybody watch this. It's a perfect film to end our round of shame.
That is perfect. Yeah, there you go. Right there. Let's do a piece of this film too. One last time. All About Eve, 1950. Come back. See if I can wrangle these divas up and get them together at the table one last time. Top three movie divas inspired by this film here, All About Eve. We'll be back in just a second.
The stars never die and never change.
You may change this star anytime you want for a new and fresh and exciting one, fully equipped with fire and music, anytime you want, starting with tonight's performance.
I shall never understand the weird process by which a body with a voice suddenly fancies itself as a mind. Just when exactly does an actress decide they're her words she's saying and her thoughts she's expressing?
Usually at the point when she has to rewrite and rethink them to keep the audience from leaving the theater.
It's about time the piano realized it has not written a concerto.
The Q Film Cast, talking about the film you just heard about, and that is All About Eve, 1950.
1950-fastic.
Okay. Yeah, we know Max likes the movie, guys, and he cued it, so and we reviewed it. Brings us to our top three movie divas. We know what a diva is. No reason to explain that. Max, go ahead and kick it out. Kick it off. Start it up. Number three for you. What is it?
Number three is Divine and Pink Flamingos. Destined to be the number one filthiest person in the world.
Ever.
Ever. Gross. So it's Divine.
And Pink Flamingos. Came close to doing it.
Came close. Succeeded. Ate dog poo.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Literally ate dog poo at the end of the movie.
Yep.
Seriously, I've not seen this.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
You're not selling me on this film, Max.
I'm not trying to sell you.
A diva eating dog poo. I'll go next. I'll go next. You know what my number two is? I'm sorry, number three?
Wait a second. You've got dog number two on your mind.
Oh, stop. Number three for me, it's one movie, but I could go either male or female.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go male. A male diva.
I know what it is.
From The Devil Wears Prada, Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci?
Yes, what are you talking about?
Absolutely. Man, he's a diva.
Have you not seen this movie?
Yeah, I would have said Meryl Streep.
I was going to. That was my female choice. I went male, Stanley Tucci.
Okay.
I thought it'd be more. He was definitely a diva.
Sure
the
he was.
Tooch.
The big Tooch. Right.
The Tooch.
I thought he was a great character in that film. I liked that movie, and I liked him a lot in that.
Right. Love that movie.
Yeah. He was a diva. No doubt
that was
about
a great
it.
Movie.
Devo.
Devo.
All right. Devo. Crack that whip, Savage. What you got for number
three? I'll take Meryl Streep and Devil's Bride and Miranda Priestley. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Corporate diva.
Well, that was quick.
Wow.
Yeah, she's on my list.
The movie's about diva. It's like diva hood.
Yeah.
Diva hood.
Right.
It's like early diva pioneering. It's like the history of diva.
They have like Mercedes covered wagons.
Something like that. Yeah, that's right. Their Gucci bags are made out of sheepskin.
Right.
Which is quality outerwear, which makes me think of you, Hoodie. So what's your number three?
I did mine different again.
Oh, boy.
Divas and Devos. I picked movies that had both of them.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I like it. That's just extra credit.
First one's Don John with Scarlett Johansson and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. They were both divas. Come on.
They were. They definitely were. Has nobody else seen this?
I haven't seen it.
No, I've not seen this film.
Oh, it's good. It's real good.
It's real good. I love that movie. We should pick that one week.
It might just happen.
Producer, it's up to you. Number three, divas inspired by All About Eve. What is yours?
I'm on the same page with Max on mine. Regina, Mean Girls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a diva.
Yeah.
That's a high school diva.
Yeah. That's a good movie, too.
I like that because it kind of goes across the board here. We've got old divas. We got corporate divas. We got high school divas.
We got filthy, gross divas.
We got poop-eating divas. I don't know what the hell that is. Number two for you. Oh, Max. My God. Number two, divas, inspired by All About Eve. What is it?
Number two, Lily von Stupp from Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
Yeah.
She
gets a diva. What she wants. Lily von Stupp.
Von Stupp?
Von Stupp.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. A good one.
I like that answer. That's a solid answer.
Singer. What's your name, cowboy? Tex, ma'am. Tex, ma'am.
She should have been in Young Frankenstein, yeah, right, James?
She was.
Yeah, she was. Should have.
Right, James?
Maybe High Anxiety, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Right.
Fantastic. Savage, what's your number two?
My number two? I guess we'll skip you. We'll go to my number two.
Oh, I did skip myself. Go ahead. You want me to go now?
No,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I'll go with Rachel Warren, Whitney Houston in The Bodyguard.
I hated that diva.
She is a diva.
She's a diva, nonetheless.
And she's a real diva.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
She was a real diva.
She still is.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Does her divahood live on?
I would assume.
All divahood okay. lives on.
Right.
My number two, I'm going to go, you said Scarlett Johansson. I'm going Scarlett, the character from Gone with the Wind.
Wow. Good job. That's like the. How's that two? I'd love to see your number one. Can't wait.
Well, there's a reason why I went to number one, and I'll reveal that, Hoodie. But first, you need to reveal to me what your number two is.
I got Sarah Michelle Gellar and Ryan Phillippe in Cruel Intentions.
Wow. I don't know.
Nobody's heard this.
No, I'm trying to think of diva. I've seen the movie, but it's been a long time.
I haven't.
It's been a long time.
Oh.
I guess it's kind of diva-ish.
You don't know.
See, I had to recall.
You're trying to save
I had
it.
To recall.
You're trying to save it.
I'm trying to help you.
I don't
know. Is that a diva to you?
Yep. I put it on my list.
Okay. It is. I guess it's a diva.
Do you want to go straight to your number one? I don't know.
Yeah, my number one is Zoolander.
Oh!
Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson.
Okay, so you're done. You just went out.
I'm done.
He went out with number one. All right. Adam, are we up to number one yet?
No.
No.
Number two.
No.
Oh, number two for you. What is it?
Hoodie's out.
Hoodie's out. He went with Zoolander.
Screw you guys.
Number two, producer, what you got?
Veruca Salt. Willy Wonka.
Oh, Willy Wonka. Oh, yeah. Veruca Salt. She was a...
Yes.
A whiner.
I was going to say the word, but I won't do it.
That's a diva.
She was a female bushdag.
She was. Right. Total. That's the... No, that's not the one Gene Wilder didn't like. He didn't like Mike TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's that. And Max, we're up to number ones, I do believe. Good answer, by the way, producer.
Thank you.
Classy. Number one, Max. What
Classy.
You got? Classy. Number one movie diva inspired by All About Eve.
You just gave me inspiration, but I'm not going to change my answer. I was going to go to Ron Burgundy for a second.
I know.
But my number one is Dewey Cox from Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Kind of a diva.
Kind of a diva. He was the embodiment of diva. He was the parody of a diva.
You're right, especially when he did that song with that thing. And
you're going to learn to play the effing theremin.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want any more glass cats, Dewey.
Not once.
Not once. Dewey Cox was the embodiment of a diva.
Too good. That's that is funny. A great answer. My number one, let me go and just kick this out. And the reason I'm going to this specific answer is because it's obviously a diva, but it's another nod to Mike Nichols from last week. And I'm talking about the Birdcage. Nathan Lane in The Birdcage.
Devo.
Nathan Lane. Oh, okay.
But it could be both. Mm-hmm.
He was a diva, man.
Right.
And a Devo.
He was both, yeah.
He was a male and female diva.
Okay.
Kind of like Divine.
That's right. But I'm going to give another shout-out to Mike Nichols. There you go. The Birdcage, he was a diva to me. Screaming diva.
Screaming diva.
Are you one, Savage? Can
yeah,
you scream,
no,
scream
I would,
like a diva.
I,
what's your
I
number one?
I wanted to scream, but you stole my number one. I was Scarlett O'Hara is obviously the biggest diva. But since I got to have another number one, I'll go with the diva that pops into my head, the blue diva from The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
She was just a singer.
Her name was Diva.
Well,
she
was
her
diva.
Name,
that's one of the diva. Qualifications to be a diva is you have to be some sort of an artist or a singer or opera or something.
You with your qualifications.
Well, that's what the definition is.
Yeah.
Her not name bad. Was Diva, so I'll
there
go with
you
that.
Go. Not bad. So there you go. There's our top three movie divas that's inspired by the film we talked about, which is All About Eve. What?
Do I get one?
What, did you not have number one?
No, not yet.
Oh, my God. Producer, are you sure?
Yes.
What's
as
your number
usual,
one? I'm sorry.
Forget you.
Well, he's over in the producing cube. Yeah, I can't see him sometimes.
I'm going to go intergalactic on this one. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, not by really definition, well. But yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good answer. All right, so then officially now we wrap it up. There's our top three. Sorry, producer. I put this out on Twitter. Obviously, we had some things
you
come
did?
Back. I did. You know what? Maddie, check this out. Maddie Mayhem at the Film Bambina, which, by the way, go to thefilmbambina.com.
She's supposed to send me a letter.
She might send you a letter. Yeah. Yeah. If you're, yeah, you might be listening to this one, Maddie. Make it smell good. Put some sprinkles on it. Max would love that.
120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
One more time, slow.
120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
You can tweet us if you didn't get that. Yeah, Johnson. But go to the film Bambina, too. Look that up, too. Good reviews. I liked it. I went on there today. She says Divine and Pink Flamingos.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
You guys share the same fetish.
So gross.
So gross. So gross.
She stole mine.
Becky King at King's Leon Valley says Joan Crawford and Mildred Pierce. Or do I have that wrong? Dustin at Super Dustin 83 says Lena Lamont from Singing in the Rain.
Yep.
Glenn Close is Cruella DeVille.
Yep. Cruella DeVille, yeah.
Yeah. A first time watcher says Cuba Gooding Jr. and Jerry Maguire.
Not bad. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
We have some friends at Facebook, the Topic Zone, Gloria Swanson and Sunset Boulevard.
Yep.
What else did he say? Marcello Mastantoni in 8.5. I don't know.
I hadn't seen Sunset Boulevard or 8.5.
David Schultz, old Schultz, he says, Schultz. Betty Davis in the Petrified Forest. How about Scott Smallwood, the ultimate? Catherine Hepburn in the Lion of Winter. Lion in Winter. She played Eleanor in Aquitaine. A real diva playing one of history's greatest divas. There you go. John Cowden says Ron Burgundy. Lisa Caroline Cantrell Smith. Greta Garbo in Grand Hotel. Auntie Mame. There you go.
Auntie Mame. Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Auntie Mame was great.
So there you go. There's our Twitter shout-out, Facebook shout-outs, whatever, social media. So that ends this one, guys.
That ends our walk of shame.
That ends the walk of shame. You going to miss it?
Yeah, I am. I like being forced to watch movies. I would love to watch a movie every week I haven't been forced to watch.
Yeah, so we hope you guys enjoyed that as well. We thought that'd be a fun twist. Go to Netflix. Why the heck have I not seen this film?
Right.
Well, let's watch it now kind of thing. Max ends it with All About Eve, and that brings us back to reality next week, which is whatever we think we want to pick. And the big reveal here goes to Matthew St. Hoodie, patron saint of high-quality outerwear. What you have for us next week?
Hey, it's that time of year again. I'm going to go with a bad Santa.
Ooh! Yeah.
Tis the season.
I think this is good.
Yeah.
Tis the season to be bad Santa.
I didn't like this movie.
You think
I did.
That, are you curious, Steve? Maybe you can.
I am. I can't remember. I remember like one scene, but... Wow, my last two picks have been Billy Bob Thornton. That's funny.
That is funny.
That's good stuff.
Whoa.
You know what?
Circle of life continues.
I think the circle of walk of shame continues because I've not seen this film.
Hey, we had two Murray Hamiltons in a row.
Yeah.
Why not have two Billy Bob Thorntons in
Give
a
me
row.
A couple Murray Hamiltons and a Billy Bob Thornton to go, please.
Can you imagine if we had Billy Bob Thornton and Murray Hamilton in the same movie?
That's where this one ends, as always. Thank you for tuning into The Queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on this film that we just discussed, or anything for that matter, I don't care.
Yeah. Tell me how much James sucks.
Yeah. You can. Actually, someone do that. Tell me how much I suck.
Or send me a letter.
120 Peachtree Street.
37210.
Nashville, Tennessee. Or you can go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Always happy to hear from you. So join us again next week. Cue it up. Knock it down. Bad Santa. Good producer. Don't know what that means.
What?
I have no idea. Bad Santa, but we have a good
Are you about
one.
To pet me or
I
something?
I have no idea.
I don't know what that
the
is.
The elf of the group.
He does kind of look like he's begging.
Yeah. So that's next week. We're going to cue it, going to review it, and knock it down. So that's where this one ends. As always, thank you for tuning into The Queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on this film that we just discussed, or I don't care, anything for that matter. I don't care.
Anything.
Yeah, go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Or you can send Max a letter.
At 120 Peachtree Street, 37210, Nashville, Tennessee.
See that? There you go. Make it smell good. Put some sprinkles in it.
Put some panties in it.
I don't say Pringles.
Put some panties in it.
No. Panties. Panties. Pringles. Use panties.
Oh, come on. It better be sprinkles, please, for the love of God.
Or Pringles.
I like Pringles.
Somebody else handled this edit.
Put up Pringles and put them in your panties.
Yeah. Well, you know, Bad Santa and... you're going to get cold.
That kind of goes along with Bad Santa.
It really
Santa.
Is. Yeah, it does.
But we're always happy to hear from you. Keep your panties on. Just go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Join us again next week as we cue it up, knock it down, Bad Santa. And that's where this one ends. Going to cue it, going to review it. And until then, however you say, good night.